Our scripture focus today comes from James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It's the beginning of James's letter, written to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, and I think to the many tribes of Yates, scattered among the places of Durham and Orange counties, Wake County as well. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance or perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. May God bless the reading and the hearing of the word today. Well, today I want to reflect on endurance for a few minutes, on perseverance. If there's one thing we've been told over and over again in this pandemic, it's that we're in a marathon, not a sprint. And I've never trained for a marathon, but I know that I'm not sure I want to. The number of hours that are required, training and conditioning, all of those things that are required to make a body strong enough simply to endure the difficulties and the rigors of a trip like that are very intimidating. But there's more at work anytime we look at a long race. We know this is true. We also know that we need a state of mind and a state of heart that is so doggedly persistent on the goal that even when the difficulties and the barriers arise, we will not relent. Endurance, that state of mind, that state of heart is the key that keeps us from giving up before we finish our race. But endurance is more than just conditioning of our bodies, like I was saying. It's also a state of heart. It's a state of mind. It's a character priority throughout the New Testament. The Apostle Paul believes endurance is of vital importance as Christians face the difficulties of their lives. It's an important component of their development as Christians. In his letter to the Romans, chapter 5, he writes these words, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our afflictions, because we know affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." The book of Hebrews says something similar. Perseverance, endurance, is a mandatory component of Christian character. Hebrews chapter 10, 36 says, "You need endurance so that after you have done God's will, you may receive what is promised." Jesus puts a fine point on it. It's such a vital character trait that when Jesus points to the trials that lay ahead for all those who would follow him in a world that was crumbling in on itself, he says in Matthew 24, 13, "Those who endure to the end will be saved." And so I want us to reflect today on how we develop perseverance in our personal lives, in our lives as disciples, how we develop endurance as a church. There are a few different components to this. I think the first, in a sense, is to accept those things that we cannot change. We're probably familiar with Niebuhr's famous prayer that starts with those words, "God, give me the serenity to accept those things that cannot be changed." William Barclay, the great exegete and commentator from the last century, described endurance in the New Testament with these words. "Endurance is the courageous acceptance of everything life can do to us, and transmitting even the worst event into another step in the upward way. Some of the circumstances we face in life are inevitable, and sometimes life is not fair. But it helps us to remember that when God is Lord of our lives, when God remains Lord of our lives, that it remains God's desire for us to grow more and more into the likeness of his son, Jesus. Whatever enters into our life, the unfavorable changes, the tragic events, even the irritating people, it's an invitation for the development of character. Good, bad, or indifferent, our response to the intrusions in our lives are going to form our character. When J.B. Phillips paraphrased this same passage from James, he captured it this way: when all kinds of trials crowd into your lives, my brothers and sisters, don't resent them as intruders. Welcome them as friends. Realize that they have come to test your endurance. But let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed, and you will find that you have become men and women of mature character. But accepting the realities of our lives as realities is not all that's required of us to develop endurance. The other thing that we must do, including acceptance, is to adjust to the barriers as they present themselves to us. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3, it says, "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple, the fool, keeps going and pays a penalty." Some of the circumstances in our lives are unavoidable, and obstacles are sure for us. Losses will occur. Disappointments are certainties. But endurance is that character trait of a person of wisdom who acknowledges and accepts those roadblocks and then makes adjustments. Doesn't simply wait for the circumstances to come around and adjust to their preferences, but instead finds a new way through. And as they make those adjustments, they continue to abide in patience. Am I the only person who prays for patience right now? Maybe not. But you can't learn patience just listening to a sermon, unless it's an inordinately long sermon, and then it may test your patience. You're not going to learn patience reading a book. You're not going to learn patience any way other than by facing the world, really facing up to our circumstances and mustering up the courage to finish it. Face that world and take life as it comes. Hold on, grit your teeth, clench your jaw, and outwaiting even the storms. A little later in his letter, James writes these words: "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land, yields its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too be patient. Stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." James shows how the farmer demonstrates patience. A farmer can't make the grain, make it rain. The farmer can't make the growth. The farmer has to rely on God to act and will wait patiently with wisdom and acceptance. Abiding in patience, abiding under the load that we might have to carry, is also abiding with a God who has been faithful, who, as our hymn of praise showed us this morning, suffered with us. And so we don't simply abide in Christ, we abide with Christ under our struggles and under the pressures of life. You know, the last component in the midst of that is constantly to affirm the presence of God. As we continue to cultivate character that resembles and reflects the likeness of Jesus Christ, it's important to affirm that God is with us. God acts in many different ways in our lives. Sometimes God is like a teacher instructing us. Sometimes God is a fellow worker challenging us to excellent works ourselves. Sometimes God is something of a spectator or a coach, giving us grace, forgiveness for our failures, encouraging us to keep on and keep on, But whatever situation in which we find ourselves, God is with us. I remember when I was in high school, particularly when I was in wrestling practice, how rigorous those times were. The gym was not air conditioned, and we would run and do our drills forever. And my legs would throb, my side would hurt, would sometimes cramp up. It felt like my heart was just going to pop out of its chest. And I remember how many times I wanted to quit in the middle of all that. But then if you continue to stick with it, something amazing happens. There's this gracious kind of replenishment of energy that they call a second wind. There's something of a breakthrough in your mind and in your heart and even in your body that enables you to rise above the difficulties that you find yourselves in, the pressures that you face. There's a spiritual reality to that as well. The prophet Isaiah saying to the people of Israel, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. The young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." The miracle of our spiritual second wind is found in affirming God's ongoing presence with us. Even when the world tells us to give in, to drop out, to run away, God says, "Trust me, lean on me, fall in my arms, have faith and trust." God is with you to support you, to sustain you, to give you hope and courage and strength for your future. Whenever I reflect on endurance, I also remember the powerful story of John Stephen Akwari. He was a Tanzanian marathon runner, and he ran representing the nation of Tanzania in the 1968 Summer Olympics in Mexico City. And while he was competing in the marathon in Mexico City, he cramped up because the altitude of Mexico City was so much higher than the level at which he had trained for the Olympics. Back in his home country, they were much closer to sea level. And so at the 19 kilometer point of that 42 kilometer race, as he began to kind of angle for position with some other runners, he was hit and he fell and he dislocated his knee and jarred his shoulder. And he landed hard on that pavement. It took him a long time to stand, an even longer time to continue moving forward. But he kept running. He finished last of the 57 runners that finished the race. There were 75 who actually had started. Mama Waldi of Ethiopia won the race in 2 hours, 20 minutes, and 26 seconds. Akwari finished a full hour later. 3 hours, 25 minutes, 27 seconds, which is nothing to sniff at for ordinary running earthlings like us. But he was dead last and still holds the Olympic record for slowest marathon. There were only a few people that were left in the stadium by the time he crossed the finish line. The sun had set, and in fact, they had to dispatch a TV crew from the medal ceremony to go back and cover his completion of the race. They heard that one more runner was coming across the finish line. And when he finally finished that race, there were a few folks remaining in the stadium who cheered. And in the interview that followed, he was asked why he continued running. And he said, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to begin a race. My country sent me 5,000 miles to do what? Finish." We don't know how many steps we're going to have to take to reach the prize to which we've been called. We do know it's going to take work every single day of our lives. Don't quit. Never give up. Keep going. Hold on. Accept. Adjust. Abide. And affirm. Endure. With that endurance, we're going to follow the course all the way to its end. God did not call us to follow Jesus to begin this race. God calls us to follow Jesus to finish.